Noticed I've been fixated with the temple in the Old Testament, the second temple, the one that was rebuilt. I just want to read to you from Ephesians 2 first and just develop some of these thoughts. Now, apparently we need titles for sermons now. I don't know when this started, but Paul mentioned it last week, that Mark mentioned it the week before, that you've got to have a snappy title. So I haven't got one. I've just got living stones. That's what we all are, living stones. We'll see why in a minute. And that's not referenced in this first reading, but it will be soon. Ephesians 2:20. In fact, I'm going to go back to 19. Ephesians 2:19 says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." This is talking about the church. We're not foreigners, we're not strangers anymore to one another. I mean, this group of people in this room is unique, and it as a group would never have participants who know each other without Christ. You wouldn't all be here if it wasn't for Jesus. You're no longer foreigners and strangers, but we are fellow citizens, and God is using us to build us together. And Jackie mentioned in her last prayer about this is family, this is us. This is us together. So as you know, I've been looking at the rebuilt temple talked about in Ezra, and we've gone through Ezra 1-6, and I've talked about how the Israelites returned from exile in Babylon. They came back to a derelict Jerusalem and a pile of rubble that used to be the temple. So I came in my readings recently to the original temple, the one that's now in rubble in the story I've been looking at, and I've come back to 1 Kings 6, where we see the first temple that was built by Solomon. David, his dad, had the vision for the temple, but it was in Solomon's time when wars had ceased and it was more stable economically and politically for Solomon to build this temple. And in 1 Kings 6, we read all about that. But just to remind you of the parallels that we've been drawing, which are biblical parallels, they're not things I've made up, they're between the temple and the Old Testament temple and us as a church. And it cuts two ways. There's a part where Paul says that you yourselves individually are temples, plural, so you're all carrying the Holy Spirit. So using temple imagery, a place where sacrifice and celebration takes place, a place of God's presence. You are one of those temples. And then also collectively in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple," singular. So together, collectively, we become a temple. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, is that we are stones, living stones in that temple. Amen. And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. And I believe many of us sense God's Spirit this morning as we've been gathering together. And even as we chatted at the beginning and people are socialising, if you like, it's called fellowship. God's Spirit is amongst us. You might have a word for somebody. You might have a word of encouragement. Just be ready for that encounter moment. Even as we just converse at the end. But when we're together, God's Spirit dwells within us. But the next verse I haven't read in the past sermons. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. Yeah. That's heavy, isn't it? Because he's talking about this, not the temple of Jerusalem. He's talking about these people here. And if someone tries to destroy the church, God will destroy that person. Why? Because God's temple is sacred. Now you might just think, well, we're just a bunch of Christians. We meet together for commonality. But we're not. We're something far more than that. We're referred to as the bride of Christ. And if Christ is a perfect lover, he adores his church. You're sacred. And you together are that temple. That's the last part of the verse. You together are a sacred temple. It might not feel very sacred sometimes, especially when chaos seems to know no end and the oceans rise and thunders roar and you just feel tossed around by life. You don't necessarily feel very sacred. But it's true, that's how God sees you. Now, back in the Old Testament, we know that the temple was a sacred and holy place. But it's still just as sacred. That's what we've just read. So back in the original temple, let's have a look at the Old Temple, at the Old Testament. I'm going to read from 1 Kings 6. I'm going to read from verse 14. And I want you to guess which verse pops out to me. And I bet you can't, all right? So a little bit of keep you engaged. 1 Kings 6, 14. And then I'm going to read 22. Which verse, which line stood out to me? Or which line stands out to you? Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to say something different to you that I'm not even going to say. This is God's word. Let it speak. So Solomon built the temple and completed it. He lined its interior walls with cedar boards, paneling them from the floor of the temple to the ceiling, and covered the floor of the temple with planks of juniper. He partitioned off 20 cubits at the rear of the temple with cedar boards from floor to ceiling to form within the temple an inner sanctuary, the most holy place. The main hall in front of this room was 40 cubits long. The inside of the temple was cedar, carved with gourds and open flowers. Everything was cedar. No stone was to be seen. He prepared the inner sanctuary within the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord there. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 wide, and 20 high. He overlaid the inside with pure gold, and he also overlaid the altar of cedar. Solomon covered the inside of the temple with pure gold, and he extended gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary, which was overlaid with gold. So he overlaid the whole interior with gold. He also overlaid with gold the altar that belongs to the inner sanctuary. Right. Anybody think, I think I know what verse or what line popped out to Jonathan Petz as he was reading that this week. Any ideas? You're allowed to.
Not a clue.
Good.
Covered with gold.
Covered with gold. No. Well, that does come later. That was a spoiler.
Like it would smell like a sauna, by the way. I mean, that cedar smells like you never know.
Beautiful.
I'm smelling it as you're reading it.
Wait.
Wow. Toby.
I'm going to tell you. The inside of the temple was cedar. No stone was to be seen. And instantly, and if you think I'm reading too much into this, that's fine, because the truth that I'm going to draw out of this is still absolutely rock solid biblical truth. But I just saw that we are living stones. I know that Christ is the cornerstone. We are the temple. We are living stones, but no stone was to be seen. It was covered by wood, which for me symbolized the cross of Jesus. Straight away, wood meant the cross to me, and that's just how I saw it. Said you wouldn't guess it. I just felt the Lord saying, my temple, the church, it's not about the stones, although I love each individual stone beautifully and all of that. It's about Jesus. What do people see when they come in? What do people see when they come in to this gathering? What do people see when they encounter a snapshot of the church, which is you, the individual temple that goes out? Do they see your persona, or do they see the cross that stands in front? not one stone was to be seen. Now, I thought about this a little bit more, and I noticed that it was dressed stone. And when you drive around here, I love some of the old buildings made of stone, but they're not dressed means it's been prepared, it's cut to shape, it's smoothed over, it's actually presentable. It's dressed stone. Like some of the buildings around here, they're really nice because they've got the character, haven't they, and charm, and just different sized stones sticking out in different ways. But I spent 19 years in a school which used to meet three or four times a year in Blackburn Cathedral, and they've got dressed stone exposed because it's beautiful. I love stone. You can get flags for your patio that are made to look like stone, but you can always tell. I just love real stone. I love natural things. And so to cover all these beautiful dressed stones just seems a little bit odd. These stones would have been presentable, but covered anyway. And I just think that this is how God sees you. He sees you as dressed, as clothed in righteousness. He sees you as perfect. You might be aware of the rough edges. You might be aware of the buried grief that the Lord is just getting messy with you about. You might be aware of some of the things that just, the sinful patterns of behavior that just keep haunting you. You might be aware of the distress in your life. But because of Jesus, he sees you as a perfect dressed stone. Is that cool? Because we're told in this quote from 1 Corinthians 3 that this temple is sacred. The Holy Spirit couldn't dwell anywhere that wasn't sacred. You're sacred. Spiritually, you're sacred. I really enjoyed the other Tuesday night with the guy from, was it Andrew Barnett?
Yeah.
Andrew Barnett from London City Mission. But a few times he and we discussed this at leadership team later, a few times he said, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." And I said to Paul, I said, "If you've been on the Freedom in Christ course, they actually say that that phrase is quite unhelpful for some people because it's focusing on the fact that you're a sinner. And it actually, in the New Testament, we're not referred to as sinners very often. We're called saints. Every time Paul writes a letter, he says to the saints. He doesn't say to the sinners saved by grace. He said to the saints. And I think sometimes we have this sin complex. And I know we do sin daily, but hey, Jesus has set us free from all of that. We're dressed stone. And yet, not one stone should be seen. Anyway, we're dressed, we're holy. And sometimes if we've got low self-esteem, which I've talked about in the past, we just don't feel that way. But if you remember 2 weeks ago, I was talking about how weak is the new strong. And just to admit that, actually, yeah, I've not got it all together, but in my weakness, Christ is strong. And it's the weakness of my sinfulness where Christ's grace can abound. He sees you as a dressed living stone. So we've got the cross symbolized by the wood that covers this beautiful wood paneling, which covers. And it makes me ask the question, who gets the most attention? While I'm preaching, standing at the front, online to millions, thousands, hundreds, tens, online to maybe two people. But who's getting the attention? I hope it's Jesus. The church is made up of living stones, us. But the one person we really want people to see is Jesus. Whatever we do as a church must always point to Jesus, not to one of the stones. The church is not a place for celebrity. Christ must be more and more prevalent and accentuated in our lives and in everything that we do. So I pray, Lord, may the stone of my life be covered by the cross of Jesus. Amen. Lord, let people see in you, sorry, Lord, let people see you in my actions and in my lifestyle.
Amen.
More than they see me. Well, let's look at this New Testament reference to living stones before coming back to Solomon's temple. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, two verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He's the living stone. We are living stones. We're being built together to make this holy priesthood. If you're a Christian, you're qualified, anointed, commissioned as a priest. Priest represents God to the people, and people to God. That's praying for your neighbours, and that's representing God to your neighbours. You're a priest. It says so here. We're a priesthood, holy nation. And that's what God does with rough-hewn rocks. Isn't that amazing? I remember quite often we used to have a pre-service prayer meeting back in the school building, and Ivor and Anne were regulars there, and Ivor often would pray this prayer about, "You pulled me out of the rock pile of humanity." I love that. "You pulled me out of the rock pile of humanity." And it reminded me of that when I was reading this. He pulled us out. And as the Old Testament priest offered sacrifice to God on behalf of the people, we offer our own spiritual sacrifices. That's what it says in 1 Peter 2. To me, that's just our worship and our lifestyle. That's our spiritual sacrifice to God. Now, we've been thinking about the four values that we've come together as a church with, the first one being worship. That's a spiritual sacrifice that we offer to God when we encounter him and we say, "My Lord and my God," and worship him. The second of our values is that we're rooted in the Word. To spend time in his Word is a spiritual sacrifice. Then the third value is oneness, the oneness of believers. To work on that together, even when it's hard. And then the fourth value is work, the work that he has prepared for us to do. These are what I think of when I think of our spiritual sacrifices. As priests, as living stones built together. Still in 1 Peter 2, jumping down to verse 9, he goes on to say, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood." Oh, we're not just priests, we're royalty. These living stones pulled out of the quarry. A holy nation, God's special possession. You know, he loves his church. "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God.
Yes.
Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let's just think about this idea that he called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. And I imagined there used to be like an English teacher exercise to keep kids busy. It's a good cover lesson if you're doing a cover lesson for, you know, the teacher's away, there's no work set, and you do write an essay called "A Day in the Life of a Penny," which wouldn't happen much these days, would it? But you know, you could have it. You could just talk for a whole essay about being rattling around in someone's pocket or the different hands that you've gone through. Anyway, I just thought about the journey of the life of a piece of rock. You're sitting in the darkness all this time, buried in the earth, and then someone comes and quarries you out, drags you out of the darkness and into the light, and prepares you, cleans you up, dusts you down, knocks off a few rough edges, and you are presentable to be in the temple of God. He's drawn us out of darkness and into light. Once we were not a people, but we've been chosen. We've been selected. You're here. You're a living stone. You've been pulled out of the quarry. And we have a place in the building. It's great that you're here. I mean, many of us don't come to church, and it's not always for the right reasons. We talked about that. Sometimes it's just we need some space. But there's sometimes we need to apply that scripture that says, don't get into the habit of not meeting together. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be part of Christian community where we can encourage somebody else. You've got something to offer, and someone's got something to offer to you. You have a part to play. And you might have been shaped as a stone in a way that you think, well, I just feel like I'm a bit off. You're square like that, and I've got a 45 degree angle coming off here. Is something wrong with me? Look at you! And you're like all the others that I can see. But you've got a place. You fit somewhere in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You fit. And the danger is we become absorbed by the consumer culture that we live in. And we say, what can this church do for me? And do I like the worship here? And is the preacher going to preach for a short enough time? Yeah, I'm nearly done. It's nearly midday, and you know, those of you who have Meals on Wheels, come up. You can read now. That was my first preaching experience. But by the way, don't worry if people leave at 10 to 12 because there's a Meals on Wheels service and they want to get home in time for it. So that was, don't be upset while you're preaching. You have a place in the building, and the consumer culture says, what can my church do for me? It's the wrong question we've all got to be asking. Where do I fit in? Where do I fit in this building?
Yeah.
And if I'm an unseen foundation stone, so be it. And if I'm noticed daily because of my position, let me do it humbly before God. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Back to Solomon's temple and we're done. The point we've taken from the Old Testament is that in Solomon's temple, none of the stones were to be seen. They were covered by the wood. Let people see Jesus in all that we do. And may that be our prayer. And the observant amongst you might have noticed something else about this wood covering the stone. Let me read it to you again in case you've missed it. Verse 21 of 1 Kings 6. Solomon covered the inside of the temple with pure gold. You can't even see the wood. And he extended gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary, which was overlaid with gold, verse 22. So he overlaid the whole interior with gold. He also overlaid with gold the altar that belonged to the inner sanctuary. So what people really should see when they come and encounter anything to do with the church, whether it's you as an individual in the street or they actually brave themselves and come to a meeting, what they should see is something sparkling. Something gold, something... I mean, imagine that. Have you thought about the cost? I mean, I looked it up recently when I was reading something else about gold, and I think it was actually back at Christmas. I was thinking, how much is just a handful of gold? How much is that worth today? Gold's really worth a lot of money, isn't it? Have you ever looked at it? And there's people on these cheap adverts saying, we want to buy your gold. Because they know they can sell it. They know it's a good investment. But everything's covered in gold. That's how prosperous Solomon was. And he said, God, you deserve all this. So that's amazing. Just any visitor to the temple would have been overwhelmed by the gold. If it was today, they would have such high security on those entrances. I mean, never mind nicking lead off a church roof like some people used to do. That's dangerous, isn't it? All that gold in one place. Any visitor would have been overwhelmed. And at this point, I reflect on us as living stones in a spiritual temple, and I just wonder how much of me should people see at all? I'm not against preachers or Christians being famous, as long as they continuously point to God, to Jesus specifically. It's the only way. And I start thinking about how John the Baptist, John 3:30, said, he must become greater, I must become less. Or in the older version, I must decrease. Or he must increase so that I must decrease. So we our lives are hidden in Christ. We've got the cross in front of us, which you might think is a tenuous link from the wood, but that's what I saw. But over the layer, overlaid over that, what people really see, they might not see Jesus straight away. They just might see something really attractive and say, what's behind that? You know, when we have a picnic together and they just see a bunch of happy people and they sense the Spirit, because the Spirit is in our midst when we're together. Don't underestimate the power of just being together in unity. People see goals. They see something. And they and when they say, what is it that you've got? You don't say, well, it's we're really cool stones and we fit together. We're a great organisational structure. No, the next layer is the cross. You show them the cross. That's why there's gold here. The gold is there because of the wood. The sparkle in the church is there because of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then they might get to know you as well. And they might do it the other way around. But it's just the way I saw things as I read this passage. I'm just going to read what I wrote in case I missed anything, and then we'll pray. As people encounter the church, my dream is that they first see gold. They recognize the true riches that are present in the church and are overwhelmed by its beauty. This can come through the Spirit-led work that we do, the love we share, and the lifestyles we lead. And as they look deeper, they will find Jesus and see the cross behind every good and shining work we do. It is an absolute honour and privilege to be a stone in such a building, standing shoulder to shoulder with other stones, presenting the cross of Jesus in my life in such a way that people are attracted to the riches of his glory in our midst. And here are some opportunities to do this. We're having another fellowship month in August, but it's an upgrade. Everything we did last year, if you put on an event last year for August, do it again and let us know. And we'll have parties, picnics, barbecues, walks, dog walks, prayer walks, breakfast at the bay, and all sorts of things. And we'll just be social together and let the Spirit be in our midst. And that will be a witness to others. Invite things you can invite friends to. So have a pray about maybe do something different this year. Or maybe it's a fallow year for you and you're just going to join some stuff. But we're also going to have Sundays in here for an hour. It'll be shorter. And there's four Sundays in August. And each of the four Sundays is going to be taken by one of the four home groups. We have five home groups, but two are joining together because one's only got three people in it. In fact, we've got six home groups. Anyway, there's going to be four home groups take four Sundays. And that's going to be more testimony-based and just a bit more accessible and low-key. That's Fellowship Month in August. Think about how you might contribute to anything in that way. You're a living stone. Where does this odd-shaped stone that's perfectly dressed fit? We're having three picnics. One's next week. Just on Broad Sands, the usual routine if you're a regular with us. Broad Sands Green. Invite a friend. A day. Or just tell them you'll be there and mosey on up if you can. But bring them along, even better. Tell them you'll buy them a coffee at the kiosk. We've got the picnics. Let them see the gold of our fellowship. I think it's one of the best things we do as a church, is we love one another and we have unity. Why don't we showcase it? Why don't we just have some fun together and allow others to see something special that they have never found in the world? In their youth, in the nightclubs, in their adulthood, in social groups, online. They've never found the unity. And the third thing, so I've got the Fellowship Month in August, I've got three picnics, and I've got just a third thing. Can we just pray for unity? Just that we continue in unity. And if you fall out with someone, will you just go to them straight away in love and compassion and humility? And if it doesn't work, will you bring a trusted brother or sister along and deal with that? And if that doesn't work, then you can come to the leadership team. But there's a few gateways first. Can we pray for unity? If you're not falling out with anyone, can you just pray for unity in the church? And across the bay, across the churches, I feel like there's more unity happening between some of the churches within Brixham and across the bay. Can we just feed that? Because the devil hates it and he will do things very surreptitiously to drive a wedge amongst us. Let's pray. I don't know what you actually think people see when they look at the church. Living stones? Or stony-faced Christians? Stone-cold. Living stones. Lord, may we be living stones whose lives are hidden in Christ behind the cross and who shine like gold. And Father, let us stand shoulder to shoulder with our fellow living stones and pray that many more might be added. Let your kingdom come in this place. In Jesus' name, by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.